I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about giving and receiving. This balance of giving and receiving. We have to have both in our walk of faith with God. But Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But at the same time, it's also hard to give what you haven't received yet. We're going to be taking a look at a story from Luke chapter 7 today. Taking a look at how he who receives much loves much from God. Looking at that passage of scripture. But let's get started with prayer. And then we're going to get into the other half of prayer before we get into our time of communion today. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to get still, to examine ourselves, to listen and reflect back over the last day before we get into our time of communion today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. Our first step, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And that transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. It's receiving that from God on one level. There's receiving involved in this. But then it's got to flow through us, and we have to give that same grace and mercy and forgiveness to ourselves. We see giving starting to happen. To get this forgiveness and grace flowing through us, it has to be received, and then it has to be given. It's more blessed to give it than to receive it, but we have to receive it first. Receiving it from God, letting it flow through us, and then walking in that same grace and forgiveness with other people. Which means what? We also have to release some things. We have to let some things go. That's how we begin to get positioned in the light. Giving and receiving. But then we got to magnify that light. We got to make it bigger and brighter on the inside of us. And it's all about what we magnify is all about what we're focused on, what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're imagining and pondering all day long. And there's really two options. We can be magnifying light or we can be magnifying darkness in our life. To magnify the light is to magnify God, how big he is, how great he is, how much he loves us, that nothing's impossible for him, that he can make all grace abound to us. It's having all sufficiency at all times. We can abound to every good work and be generous on every occasion. We can begin to magnify that, to ponder it, to rehearse it, to meditate on it over and over and over again. And when we meditate on the light, there's some side effects that come. God begins to grow bigger and bigger on the inside than the problems. That peace that surpasses all understanding begins to come in. That joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow. When you're in the light, it's easy and effortless, and it feels light in your spirit. And it's energizing. You feel your energy levels begin to increase when we're focused on the light. And we can begin to focus on that light just through simple gratitude, just focusing on Him, praising on Him, meditating on Him. And whenever we begin to magnify in our life, it begins to magnetize us. I believe as we begin to magnify God, it begins to magnetize us to pull the things of God through us in our lives, to pull those things to us and through us in our lives. But there's another alternative. God gives us the choice of what we want to focus on. We can begin to magnify darkness in our life, but what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, what we're talking about all day long. We can choose to focus on the problems, the issues, the evil, the darkness, all the things that are wrong, all the things to vent and complain about, all the things that haven't happened yet that could have or should have happened or whatever it may be. And the more we think about those things, the more we ponder them, the more we talk about them, what happens? They grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. And then instead of that peace and joy and energy and lightness, in comes this heaviness in your spirit, this pressure on the inside of you. Fear, worry, dread, stress, anxiety, overwhelm, frustration, all these other emotions begin to come in. All based on what we're focused on. It begins to drain your energy. Some people say, you know, I eat right, I exercise, I get my rest. Why am I so low on energy all the time? Oftentimes it's what we're magnifying. Because on the other side, it also begins to magnetize as well. What we magnify begins to magnetize, and it begins to pull the things that you don't want into your life. Then as we get into the light, we get positioned in the light, we magnify it and magnetize it. It grows brighter and brighter on the inside of us. We can see. When you're in the light, you can see. You can know which way to go. You can know what to do. When you're in the dark, it's confusing. You don't know which way to go. You're tripping and stumbling over things and you don't know what it is. When you're in the light, you can see. So as we get positioned in the light, what do you know to do today? What do you know to do today? Now, positioning in the light also doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. There's still going to be issues and problems, but in the face of those issues, you can begin to magnify God through praise and thanksgiving that He's bigger than the problems. You can magnify Him as bigger. So then what do you know to do today? One of the greatest ways to make a plan for the day. What do you know to do today? Not the things you're unclear of, not the things you're uncertain of. What are the things that you know to do? Might be some administrative things, some things around the house, some things in your workplace, some things on the inside that you just keep saying to yourself, you know what? I know I need to do that. I've been meaning to do that. I know I should be doing that. But you're not walking in it. To walk into light is to walk in the things that you know to do, to be putting into practice the things that you know to do. It doesn't mean you get it all perfect, but you're putting them into practice consistently. What do you know to do today? And sometimes we get focused on darkness because we look at the things that we know to do, but they look big or overwhelming or impossible because the things that God created us to do in life are meant to be done in partnership with Him. They're not meant to be done on our own. They're meant to be done in partnership with Him. And so focusing on Him that, hey, I'm not looking at how big this thing is that I got to do. I'm looking at how big the guy who's with me is. Looking at how big God with me is. Looking at who I'm taking into the situation with me. So what do you know to do today? Just begin to write out a little plan for the day. What are the things that you know to do? And then staying tuned in throughout the day. When you're positioned in the light, it's like you've got your radio receiver tuned to the correct channel. You can hear more clearly from God the more you get positioned in the light, the more you magnify that light. But we got to stay tuned into Him. What's He speaking to you today? Over the last 24 hours, what's God been speaking to you? What's he been trying to teach you or to train you in, to teach you, to show you maybe new directions and vision for your life, new insights and revelations? When you're in the light, you're positioned in the light, you can hear much more clearly. And it's his voice that's leading us to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. So giving and receiving. I woke up this morning thinking about this passage of scripture here from Luke chapter 7. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on his feet. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said this to himself in his heart. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. So we see here, he begins to judge this woman. But Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Jesus says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't even give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. So we see here, someone who is loving little, someone who's loving little, they're not expressing, they're not showing that love. They're not giving that love. More blessed to give to them to receive. Love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Love gives. But to get to the place where this love gives through us in our lives, we have to receive first. We have to receive that forgiveness, and it's got to flow through us, causing us to love other people. So whenever we see somebody, could be ourselves, that's not loving much, not giving much, there's something that needs to be received from God in those areas. So Heavenly Father, we're just taking communion today. Just believing that we receive from you. Seems that this forgiveness, receiving this forgiveness from you, is the key to loving greatly. The receiving this forgiveness from you is the key to loving greatly. Father, we just thank you that you loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only son to die for us so that we could have life. Father, we're just receiving that from you today. We're asking for your help to help us to receive all your grace and forgiveness and mercy that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he told his disciples, take it. In other words, he said, receive it. In order to give this great love and let it flow through us, we have to receive it first. We have to receive his grace and forgiveness and love, and just receiving that today from him. Father, we thank you for this bread and just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have peace. We can have joy. That love can flow through us. We can have this covenant relationship with God, where his grace and love empowers us and flows through us to other people. But we got to receive it first. So Father, we just thank you for this cup and your great love for us, Lord, and your forgiveness. And we just ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out. Love gives. Receiving this from God, letting it flow through you, causing you to love and be generous on every occasion, doing good every time you see an opportunity. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.